Hello, poppies. We're back with episode 43, and we're back in English. As always, my name is Dominic Theodorou, and this time I'm not recording from Bamberg. I'm in Göttingen, and I would also obviously would like to welcome the other face. Let's call him the bigger face of this show, Leonard Stechmann. Hello, Leonard.
Hey, Dom. Hey, poppies. What's up? Good to hear you. Why am I the bigger face?
I don't know. You always give me that feeling. By the way, I forgot something. Brain Pops, obviously the podcast, approaching mental and physical challenges behind the scenes of professional sports.
Nice.
I love the sentence. That's why I always have to say it.
Yeah. I like it too. Took us some time to come up with this.
What do we have on the menu today, Leonard? I think this episode is really on short notice, I have to say.
It's true, but we have a guest where this does not matter for sure, because he's a good friend of ours. He's been on here before, so he knows the drill. And it's one of the top three clicked episodes, I believe. So I think literally we can just give him the mic and just leave, and it's going to be a great podcast.
The mic.
Lol.
Lol. Yeah, but before we jump into the episode, we also have to say something to our poppies, because this will be we're going to go on a little break.
Yeah.
Not too long, but I think until the start of August, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. We both need a break, not from this podcast, but like in general from work. And for this podcast, we want to come up with some new ideas maybe, or, you know, have some time to think about this and what guests we want to provide, what themes we want to talk about. And therefore, we decided to take a break and then come back with a bigger bang, with bigger brain pops.
Yeah, with more fruitful ideas. Exactly.
Exactly. You got to take some time sometimes to come up with good idea and get some space between you and the project. So that's what we're doing. And yeah, but like I said, we got to go out with a bang. And I think Mike Stockton fulfills this profile of a guest we need right here. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to the conversation with him. Always good guy to talk to. And like you said, it's kind of on the short notice, so we're going to go a little bit freestyle. And but probably we're going to maybe even recap some brain pops we had of past episodes. And, you know, the regular craziness or whatever you want to call it.
Exactly. That's what we're going to do. I have like a few topics in mind. But, you know, maybe a little surprise for the poppies. So let's just jump in, I would say.
Yeah, let's do it. See you in for the poppies 2 seconds.
Yup.
All right. And now we can just bullshit, like you would say.
Hey, it's a skill. I'm ready to rock it.
I like it. All right, Dom, you want to get us started?
Hello, guys. Let's get the party started. We had already, I used the word again that I just used in the pre-show, but I like that word. Very fruitful pre-talk with Mikey here already. So let's just get him on the show. He wants to say something. I see it in his face. Hey, Mike, good to have you again on the show.
Hey, man, it's good to be back on old brain pops here.
You know, yeah,
the name change and everything, but no, it's an honor to be welcomed back. You know, I'm still a little perplexed as to why you use words such as fruitful, but, you know, maybe we'll talk about that later on in the show.
All right.
You know, I always use these strange words. I don't know. It's probably because I studied English. That's
All right.
You know, Dom, as they say, certain people have a command of the English language. I think you might be one of them.
Well, I don't know. But yeah, good to have you here. And by the way, first of all, Leonard, I would like to ask him, how was your first experience like being on a podcast? Was that with us for the first time?
Yeah, that was my first time ever on a podcast. And, you know, previous to being on the show with you guys, I didn't listen to a ton of podcasts either. Just kind of one of those things that I was never really into. But after, you know, getting to be on and see what it was about, I've listened to a ton of them in the year following, and it's been great. I've learned a lot of things because there's literally a billion podcasts out there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
but anyways, I was happy to do it. I'm excited to be on again. It's just something I think is pretty cool, man. So good for you guys for keeping this rolling.
And did you listen by any chance also to a few episodes of our show?
Yes, I have, and I hate to admit this. I've only really listened to the English ones.
But that, of course.
You know, and somebody might say, well, Michael, why don't you listen to the German ones? Maybe it would improve your German. And that's an absolute fact. That's something I will take into consideration. And maybe I will get into that a little bit later. But yeah, I've listened to a couple of the episodes. I thought Elamine's was great. I thought Adam's was great. You know, there's just plenty of good content, and I'm sure we'll touch on that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Thanks. Man, but how are you doing? Where are you at right now? I think your place to be didn't change. Still France, right?
Yep.
Well, I know that. I'm acting like I don't know. Jeez.
Hey, well, this is for the listeners out there, man. Come exactly. on now. So we've got to ham it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you this. Most people, you know, you could say that I'm not in the same place that I was a year ago, and that's a good thing. And so now, unfortunately, it makes it sound like I'm just some scrub that's in the exact same spot I was 12 months ago. Here I am, still in Cholet, France, and still playing basketball, and still over here in June finishing our regular season.
Yeah, so, I was about to say that one would assume that you should be home already, yeah? But yeah.
You know, Dom, it's not something I want to talk about too much because it's only going to make me mad, the fact that I am still here. Again, France is a good place. Cholet is a good place. But there's certain times when it's just time to get out on the water and to sit in the sunshine, to hit the golf course, to go water skiing. Now is that time.
Yeah. Water skiing was also a theme last episode. I remember that. And that, like, I just listened to it before we started this podcast. And I was like, so Mikey is just in that phase of the season where you like want to go home so badly, and at the same time you don't want to at all because, you know, usually it's crunch time.
Absolutely. So
where are you at mentally right now?
Look, man, you said it all. First off, I've got a job to do over here, you know, and that duty comes before anything else. We got to finish this season strong. But at the same time, I literally close my eyes when I'm going to sleep at night and I can smell the lake. You know what I mean? I can smell the interior of a boat and little things like that. So there's so many triggers that are telling me, you know, usually this time my mind is, you know, not just my mind. Usually right now I am somewhere else and my mind keeps reminding me that.
Body's probably also already used to it. You're already in like your water skiing pose when you show up at practice or something.
Let's just say I've been doing a lot of workouts in the weight room to make sure the body is ready for the rigors of water skiing. Also to finish the basketball season, there's a lot of parallels there, but I'm making sure I'm ready. Usually the first ski of the season will tell me what I've been skipping in the weight room, interestingly enough.
Yeah. Should we hit our first topic, Leonard?
Yes, please.
So, I mean, obviously it's Corona related. I don't want to talk about Corona now, but maybe the repercussions of it. Let's put it like this. I think people usually, or me, for example, I also underestimated a little bit. But the fact, Mike, that during the year, you were probably, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were probably always commuting between your practice facility and your apartment. There wasn't, let's say, there weren't that many chances where you could, you know, get your hat off things by, for example, like meet a teammate, get something to eat somewhere. I don't know, just get like a drink, play some pool, or just things where you can get your head off the basketball game. How did you cope with that?
You know, that was tough for me, Dom. I'm a fairly social person, you know, I like to be out and about. Now, you know, that can mean a million different things, but one of the most important things about playing basketball is making sure your mind's in the right place, man. You know, physically is obviously very important, but you know, you've got to have a clear mind and you got to be able to think straight. And when you do the same thing every single day, that becomes more and more difficult. So, you know, what are your avenues to blow off steam? For mm-hmm. me, you know, you kind of described a lot of those things. It can be anything. Sometimes it's, hey, you know, been a rough day of practice, you and a teammate. Sometimes you just need to go out and grab some food. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just a kebab. Maybe you go to the bar for a beer. You know, it could be anything, but none of that was available for the last year. And that made it very difficult for me because, like you said, it was, all right, I got practice at 10. So I'm up, I go to practice, I come home, I cook food, I eat, I go to practice again at 5. And as soon as that practice was done, France was literally shut down every single day at 6. We weren't even allowed to be on the roads. You know, we had special papers. We had dispensation to say, okay, these guys are going to work, so legally they can travel after 6 o'clock as long as it's in the direction of the gym or their house. You know, there weren't grocery stores open. There weren't, you know, bars, restaurants, anything. And so that made it extremely difficult for me because, you know, it was just monotonous. It was the same thing every single day. And it's still wearing on me. Hell, you know, I'm still over here and I feel I cope with these things fairly well, but at the end of the day, when you can't see other people, it's difficult. And I love my teammates, but every single day, twice a day, you don't get to see anybody other than that. It's not always fun. And you know, you don't always want to hang out with those guys. Doesn't matter. Even you guys, for example, I'd say we're good friends, but you don't want to see me every day, twice a day. And then the only outlet you have after that 2 times a day is to possibly meet you again. Sometimes that just isn't the right formula. So that's been a huge, huge difference this year from anything else I've ever experienced.
I mean, I think the way you described it, in a way, a lot of people can relate to it. And me personally, I definitely can. And now here in Göttingen, you know, the numbers are low and things are going back to normal. And now I can start doing some more stuff. And now I finally realize what changed for me, in a way. Like, my creativity was low in the weeks before, and now, like, you know, it's easier for me to write stuff and stuff like that. So how would you describe the impact on your game? Like, is it also to do with creativity, or where did you feel that, let's say?
I'd say I definitely felt it at practices and the games, because, you know, it usually, being at the gym, that's an outlet, man. You know what I mean? If things are going bad in your life, let's, you know, hey, go to the gym, get some shots up, do something, because that's a way to clear your mind. But then when that is legitimately all you, like, all that you are doing, you forget sometimes that this is, you know, you get stressed over it. You get worried, you get upset. And then I had to tell myself, I'm really sitting here stressing out over something that I would do to save myself from stress of other things. Like, what is this world coming to, you know? So that was where I felt it the most, was like, you know, for a while I started dreading, like, oh God, I got to go to practice again. Or, you know, we've got a game tonight, which is exciting, but hell, it seems like a practice game because there's no fans there, you know, like all these things that usually are just the ultimate gift, right? That are just so much fun. It seemed like a chore for the first time. And now it's starting to, you know, come out of that a little bit, but for the last 8-9 months, that's what it's felt like.
Yeah. What we also observed, during the year in the BBL, we had the feeling that, there were more blowouts, put it like this. Mm-hmm. And that also, I also thought at times that smaller teams would get more wins against big teams than usual. I mean, this is now, maybe I'm speculating here, but that was like my subjective feeling. And I was also always thinking, is this now because players are just mentally fatigued and they Just like we were just talking about, yeah, not getting your head of things. Do you think that also led to my observation?
No question, man. No question. Mental fatigue plays a huge part in this. And also coincidentally, you know, when you say, oh, I felt there was more blowouts, you know, sometimes that's not just mental fatigue, but that's, you know, when you're in that empty gym, you know, there's nobody cheering or booing or anything. You know, you tend to forget. You could think you're playing at LA Fitness on, you know, at 6 p.m., you know, to use a line from one of the NBA broadcasters. It almost doesn't feel like it's real or like you're in the middle of a full out competition, you know? So that's why that can explain a lot of blowouts, because you get down 10 points. It's easy when, you know, like, let's say I'm playing crappy and there's no one there to boo my ass and to whistle at me European style. Well then, you know, sometimes maybe you're just so mentally out of it that, hell, you know, I'll just mail it in. Whereas, you know, you don't do that when the crowd's in it and people are going, because you know what is at stake. You know if you're playing good or if you're playing bad, because people will let you know. And then in turn, you know, as a team, it's not as easy to say, all right, let's just mail this one in and we'll get them next week. You know, you know that it's the sense of urgency is just different.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That was exactly also my thought when I was thinking about exactly that, you know, if you're down 10 and then you, I don't know, all of a sudden you're down 15, 18, there is, like you just said, there is nobody, there's no crowd who could, you know, at least give that signal. Let's say, okay, guys, now we got to turn it around.
Dom, you're just proving a smart man. Everything that comes out of your mouth, I'm just astounded at the accuracy of that last couple of those last few statements.
Astounded. You are so expressive. That's what I like about you.
You know, there's that command of the English language I was talking about, Dom. You're just flashing it.
You
once
have
again.
It, not me.
Yeah, well, it's my first language. I should have it. Hell.
But Dom, I mean, you studied it, right?
yeah, there it is.
I should send you flowers, Mike.
Yeah. And I mean, also like to start it, or like when you have a spark, you have the small run 3-5-0 or something, the crowd doesn't really get back into it, doesn't cheer you on, you know, get like this fire rolling, let's say. Yeah. And also what I would think was probably different, is like to get to know your teammates beyond basketball, let's say. Cause I mean, we had a lot of coaches do this by now, and Dennis Wucherer was on the show here, and he said the same thing, that he was like, when he composes, let's say, his teams, he's looking to bring together different cultures, like so different mindsets, so people, you know, like he wants different mindsets on the team, so you can how do you say, profit from each other. Mm-hmm. But now, not being together, not having this outlet you described earlier, maybe then not wanting to hang out later afterwards because you just saw them all day, and you know, it's not like it was probably a lot difficult to like assimilate these cultures in a way, I would guess.
Yeah, that, you know, that's a really good observation, and it's something that we've struggled with all season, I feel, is because mm-hmm. you know, it's easy to get to know guys on the basketball court in a sense, right? To say, okay, you know, this is how this guy plays, and this is if I take a dribble this way, he's gonna cut there. You know, that stuff's well and good. That's very important. But it's that off the court stuff that you're talking about, that when you get to know how a person thinks, you know what I mean? And it's not like you invite guys over and say, hey, I want to know everything about you. I want to know how you think. It's honestly usually stupid crap. Like, okay, let's go to the bar, let's have a beer. And then all of a sudden you just start talking about things that you didn't really think were important, but then it comes to pay dividends as the year goes on. You know, you get to know what a guy thinks about, what a guy cares about, you know, what's important to your teammates, and those things help you build that trust on the court, whether you ever talk about it again or not. You know, if you show that you care about a guy, a teammate, you know, you show you care about teammates, they're going to show that same care back. And then, you know, you hopefully run into the situation where everybody wants to run through a brick wall for each other. And when you don't get the opportunities to do that, everybody, you know, it's easier to just everyone be on their own individual thing because we're all on our own individual thing every single day, right? You know what I mean? We're not forced to have those deep discussions and conversations. You know, you don't get that organic team building. Everything is just a little bit more individualized.
That kind of adds, like, now listening to you adds to the point we had earlier about the blowouts. You know, yeah, like definitely. Something down 15, I'm just going to, you know, I'm about to head home, get some food, like be in your own lane and yeah. Fuck this game. I mean, exaggerating a bit, but
I get you. But no, you're absolutely right. You know who's going to go into the foxhole with you, you know, and sometimes you can just look in your teammates' eyes and know, hey, you know, we're down 15 or whatever. Let's make a push right here. Let's give it all we have and let's go. But then sometimes you look in guys' eyes and it's all right. You can just tell it's not there. You know, you don't want to have that situation very often, but this year it's been easier to have that situation kind of because of what you guys talked about, than it has been in previous years, in my opinion.
And also another anecdote we had this year, we had a great win against Alba Berlin, a home game. I think we played with like a lot of guys were out because they were injured. And I think we won by only 1 point or so. I'm not entirely sure, but still we beat Alba Berlin. And afterwards, we're in the locker room. Everybody is, you know, of course, everybody is happy that we won. But then everybody just walked home and that's it. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? There's no, like, nothing gets celebrated. Guys cannot link up as a team somewhere after, you know, to hang out or, I don't know, to get something to eat together with the whole team. And Alex Ruoff said it's just sad.
Well, think about it this way, Dom. That's extremely sad. And think about it this way. If you can't celebrate success, right? And celebrate doesn't mean we're going out and partying and getting reckless. But if you can't appreciate and celebrate successes, however big or small, because of, you know, the restrictions that we've had this year, right? So the good things never carry over. You have success. It never transfers over because the good stuff, you know, it's almost like you're so stoic about it. Oh yeah, we won the game. That's over. But when something bad happens, you lose a game to the last place team in the league. That doesn't leave you because, you know, it's easy to sit there and stew negativity on yourself all the time. So you see, and you've seen different instances of it with your team this year in Bamberg. And I've seen it with my team in Cholet is you'll win a big time game and it'll just be laissez-faire. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Whatever. On to the next. But then you get your ass kicked by some team that you're better than. And then it's, oh God, the sky's falling. And that doesn't go away. You know what I mean? When it should be the exact opposite, you know, when we succeed, when we do something well, we have to try to keep that feeling close, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? And kind of keep that mindset as, hey, this is what we do. This is the standard we set for ourselves. And when something bad happens, you got to be able to erase the board, man. You know what? Screw it. That's an anomaly. That doesn't happen. That's on the way out. But this season, I feel like that's been flip-flopped because it's easy. It's always easy to remember how you screwed up. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not always as easy to forget how you did it.
Hey, that's my first brain pop already. I mean, sounded pretty well. That reminds me also of the episode with Alex Ruoff, where he said, never get too high, never get too low. But maybe this year we should have gotten a little bit more higher.
I completely agree with that. You know, first off, that's a great statement by Alex and it's very true. You know what I mean? Highs can't be too high, lows can't be too low, but you have to celebrate winning and success and the process of doing things the right way. Because if you don't, what's the point of doing it? So yeah, maybe jumping into the highs needed to get a little bit higher this year. I think that's a very valuable point and something that I will actually take with me as I go forward is to think, you know, it's okay to be a little exuberant sometimes, you know, to go over the top when it comes to, you know, celebrating success.
Can you just say that word one more time?
There was not a mind. Exuberant. There's a lot of letters in that one, Dom.
Man, I gotta write that down. You know, I have this like stupid list of words that wherever I find good phrases and stuff, I'll always write it down.
Well, as you know, and as my former coach and your current boss can tell you, I'm chock full of those phrases.
Oh yeah,
and words.
Yeah, that's why you're also such a great guest on here, right, Leonard?
Yeah, I definitely agree. when you guys talked, I wanted to, like, let's say about the team chemistry, I would wrap this under before. I was like, we had this discussion in later episodes, where we were like, how do I describe this? Like, if there is something between teammates, let's say. All right.
I thought something else was going on there on the screen. A little stream of water going back there. I said, for God's sakes. Just so everyone knows, sorry to cut you off, Leonard. Dom was filling up his water bottle, which, you know, that's a cute little water cup you're using, but I got a Moss drink here.
What is this, a litter? Yeah.
The German culture is still with you in France, I guess.
It always will be, boys.
All right. As I was trying to say, what did I want to say? Oh, yeah. Let's say, Mike, we're teammates again. And you feel like there's something in between us. You don't really have a clue what or something, but it felt like I came off wrong onto you on a different occasion. And this, let's say, happens a couple of times. Kind of giving the answer. Would you put that stuff on the table, talk, or like even, let's say, bigger scale, if it's like in the team? Maybe it even explodes then, but then you at least said it. Or would you say, all right, we're professionals. This cannot affect us. Like, we just need to get shit done on the court and F all this other stuff.
You can go about it in both ways, honestly. And for me, I always try to bridge the gap, right? I'd always say, let's get it out on the table and let's find a way to resolve it. Now, if you get to a point where you've said everything and, you know, everyone said their feelings and it still doesn't work, then at that point, that's when you go to the say, for at least my opinion here, I'm not saying this is how it's done, but when that happens, or if, you know, two guys can't meet each other in the middle, meet halfway, then you say, all right, let's just sweep it under the rug and let's be professional and let's worry about doing our job. But I don't like that version, you know, the second version, because there's always going to be something lingering. At the end of the day, yeah, we can be professional. We can pretend we hide it, but we're human beings, man, and we're emotional people. And those are the type of things that can derail a friendship or a team without even, you know, when it's outwardly not even an issue, you know, even it can derail a team down the road, even though you thought you've put it to bed. So that's why I like to put it to bed outwardly, because then everyone knows where each other stands. And you know, sometimes we don't always succeed when we take that approach. You know, there's no right way to do it, but I think definitely it's got to be out in the open, and you've got to be willing to have those discussions. And sometimes it is just a practice where everyone that darn near fights, you know, and yells at each other. But sometimes it's a more off the court diplomatic setup. You never know what you're going to get.
And let's say, sorry, Dom.
So you're more like straight shooter. You said that in the beginning. And you're also a little bit in need of harmony. That's also my corner where I consider myself at, but yeah.
No, you're definitely a harmonious person, Dom. If I recall how you know, your behind the scenes work is definitely a big part of at least the 2 years that we worked together. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of, it wasn't like you were out there, Mr. Peacemaker, you know what I mean? But it was your talks and your efforts behind the scenes that would help guys and help the team move in the correct direction. And you need people like that, because not everything is going to be an in your face. This is black. This is white. There is no gray area. You know, sometimes there's, I think I said the word earlier, but there's a more diplomatic approach to it. And it doesn't come from just one guy. Everybody on the team plays their role into how those things are handled.
And let's say, I don't know if you were, but let's just say you were in a situation where there was some stuff under the rug. How would you describe, or how would you guess, if you have never experienced it, that would show on the court?
You know, if to the untrained observer, let's call it, let's say you were watching an NBA game and two guys, you know, you would never know it, right? Because you don't know what's going on, but let's say you're involved in it. Let's say, Leonard, you and I are teammates. It could be little things, you know, it could be, and maybe guys don't even know they're doing it, but you know, you get beat defensively. I'm supposed to be helping you, but I kind of half-ass it, take a half step and swipe at the ball, or the ball comes kicking out to me. You're the easy next, you know, one more pass. Sometimes that pass won't be thrown. It'll just be shot. And you know, sometimes that just happens. You know what I mean? But sometimes you would notice it. It would be noticeable. And you'd say, wait a minute. You know, is that guy not purposely not passing this guy the ball? Or is this guy purposely not, you know, helping him defensively because of who he is or because of what he said or whatever? Those things rear their head. If you don't, you know, handle the stuff, and you wouldn't be able to tell if you weren't involved in it. You know, sometimes even guys on the same team can't even see it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I agree. What else we got going, Dom? What else we got prepared?
I have, you know, that was something that just came to me. You know, today I went for a walk in the city center and I bought myself a suit.
Swaggy.
Both of you know that I'm not that kind of a guy. I like my sweatpants usually. But
do you even own jeans or something like this?
Yeah, but usually during the season.
Very un-European of you, Dom. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. But it is what it is. But while I was walking through the city center, there was like, because, you know, Mike, Leonard, I like to read, you know, and I'm at least trying to get better. And lately I started reading a lot, not just about training, also a little bit about like leadership and how do you get like people to change their behavior? What can you do as a coach? Because in the end, I think that's way more important than knowing your training regimens. And I was I read a book. Maybe you guys know the book. I don't know. It's called The Score Takes Care of Itself. It's Bill Walsh. I don't know if that rings a bell.
I know who
bell.
Bill Walsh is. I've never read the book, but that's a very famous American football coach, I believe.
Exactly. And the title of the book was like, that can be interesting. So I decided to get it and I read it. And, you know, just to give you some cliff notes, I mean, this guy, like you just said, football coach from the San Francisco 49ers from 79 to 88. And he basically got there, very bad. And he established then his own culture, his own standard of performance, so to speak. And he coached the team for 11 years and they won 3 Super Bowls and everything went into the different direction. So he had like, let's say he was a really successful coach, not just coaching wise. Also, he had his fingerprint on the whole organization basically. And there was one thing he said, which, well, I had to think about that for multiple times. I'll just read it out for you and then I would love to get your take on it, Mike. So let me just read it out. It's a quote from the book. Effective leaders often understand that if they are predictably difficult or predictably easygoing, others, for example, athletes, become predictably comfortable. In a highly competitive environment, feeling comfortable is a first cousin to being complacent. Unpredictability can keep players on their toes.
So to give you some time to think, Mike, Dom, I just like how you flexed that you bought a suit but never followed up on it.
All right, so Dom bought a suit and, you know, he's just showing he's got some cash ready to spend out here. Oh, and then I got a book. Here's a quote. You know, Dom, that's That's a very, very interesting quote.
Should we maybe paraphrase it first?
Because no, maybe absolutely. For some... Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah. Good idea.
So I think in the end, if you have a coach, Mike, that is in his behavior rather unpredictable than predictable, instead of being predictable, mm-hmm. First of all, what would you prefer? What do you think it's best from your point of view? Yeah. And then the last sentence of it is like unpredictability can keep players on their toes. That probably means that players also always have to be alert. That's how I understand it.
Yeah. So I'll start with the first part of that is that, you know, the unpredictability aspect. So if you're asking me personally what I prefer, you know, a coach who is, and I'm talking just personal here, consistent. You know what I mean? You don't want a guy to be buddy-buddy with you on Monday and then Tuesday, you know, a guy that's MFing you and saying, I'm sending you home because you're garbage. When they said to you, you were the best player on the team the day before, you don't want that. As I would take this quote, now I'm not Bill Walsh. I don't know how he intended it, but I agree with him in the fact that unpredictability in what we do. So for example, our schedule, if we have two practices every single day, I'm not going to do the same drill every day. You know what I mean? Like it's never going to become monotonous to where somebody can sleepwalk their ass through this practice. You know what I mean? Now there's obviously going to be things you do every single day and consistency, but I think the unpredictability of that and mixing that type of stuff up is phenomenal because then players don't get complacent. Players don't, you know, oh, today's going to be an easy day or this drill's garbage. I know I can just coast through, you know, I think those are the unpredictabilities and let's call it the inconsistencies that are important. Whereas I think man to man, you have to be consistent and like, I mean, very consistent. You have to be down the line if it were up to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like what you said there because I was, when you read out the quote, Dom, I was like, this is like, it sounded like obviously it's just a quote and the book behind it probably explains it a lot more. I was like, this is like, sounds to me like somebody black or white and now we're just going to go black and just being great, let's say crazy all the time or unpredictable. And that's like the recipe to go. But I don't think, like you said earlier already, Mike, there is no right or wrong, no black or white. Really, you got to play with in this ambivalence in a way. You know, somebody likes this more, somebody likes this more. And you have a team full of individuals that you somehow got to address.
Yeah, and it's... Honestly, coaching is not an easy job, man. You guys know this. Coaching is difficult as all hell. And I don't envy the job that they have to do because just by being a player, you see how one comment can half the team can get excited and fired up and the other half of the team can put their heads down and go, oh God, you know, what's that supposed to mean? Or how are we going to survive this? You know? And so it's definitely a difficult job, man. But you treat guys with respect and you're consistent in your process. I think that like, if I were ever to get into coaching, that would be how I would have to do it. I would have to be even keel as a man, you know what I mean? And make sure that I'm consistent with how I'm operating, even though the system might not be consistent, you know, the practices would be different and the strategies might change here and there, but you got to know, and it takes balls to do that, right? It takes confidence as a coach to know yourself well enough and to have confidence in yourself to say, okay, you know, win or lose, I trust my process and I trust my players not to abuse that, you know, and vice versa. It'd be interesting. I probably said more than was necessary on all that, but,
I mean, I can tell you maybe by just listening to this quote, you could maybe think of the guy as being like, a little negative or something, but I can tell you this guy is all about high work ethic, respect, commitment to learning, positive language, positive attitude. That these are like his like big rocks, so to speak. So maybe it was too negative, but that I think that's not what he means.
I got you. Yep. And it sounds like a hell of a book to read, honestly. And one that, Dom, if you're finished with it, I might need you to send that on over to me at some point.
Yeah, I think
it's a good one.
Yeah, I think this guy even has a podcast. Like, I think I forgot what it's called. It was something coaches, blah, blah, blah. And I think he started a podcast actually with Steve Kerr. Or he was on the show of a podcast of Steve Kerr and some other coach. And there I listened to this guy, and he's definitely like, he's very, very interesting to listen. And probably also what he wrote in this book. I'll hand the, I mean, we can promote this podcast since we're going on a break for 1.5 months. So I'll put the, I'll put the link to the episode or to the podcast in the show notes. But you guys got to promise that you'll be back in August.
Yeah, that was just really interesting for me because I always came back to this statement, and that's why I was like, let's see what Mike has to say to that.
Hey, it's tough to argue with a guy that has the track record of Bill Walsh. You know what I mean? He's been out of coaching for a fair amount of time, and people still run his offensive system and try to build off of how he coached too. So, I mean, it's tough not to take credence into what he said.
Yeah. One thing we probably also have to mention, Bill Walsh has already passed away. I don't know exactly when. So that's why maybe
I'm guessing Leonard, he doesn't do podcasts anymore. No. Okay.
I was trying to bring that point across. So
I assume he is not a podcast, but anyways, that he heck of a coach, and I really do want to read this book. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
This made me a little bit of a badass laughing about a death, didn't mean.
It's all right, man. We understand.
Thanks.
I also touched on the other thing I'm right now really interested in. You know, it's not about putting together the wide workout or something like that. It's more about, okay, if you want to get a player to change something in his behavior, how do you start as a coach? How do you start going about it? And there my question, from your perspective, Mike, like, let's say even basketball coach or whatever, strength and conditioning coach, how do you really start listening? Well, is there something where you're like, okay.
You know, Dom, I'll talk from the guy, you know, I'll talk from the player's perspective here, whether a coach is talking to me or a strength and conditioning guy is talking to me. It can't just be unsolicited. You know what I mean? So for example, like I'm a pro basketball player. Let's say I'm back in Spokane and there's some high school guys playing. None of these guys want me to just walk up to them and say, hey, you're not doing this right. You should do it this way. They'd look at me and be like, man, shut up. Like, let me go. I think it has to just come from one simple thing. And it's, you have to show that player is important to you. So for example, I'm the player. I have to believe that you care about me and that you trust in me. And I also have to believe that you take the time yourself to make, you know, to know that this just isn't out of left field, as the saying is in English. This isn't just something you're just making up or saying just because you have authority. If you put in the time, which again, for example, with you, Dom, all your suggestions in the weight room, I would always give them a try because I knew it was important to you and I knew it wasn't without foundation. You had done your research because you knew you couldn't come to me with any bullcrap because I'd call you on it, right? You know, but that's why I appreciated you, because I knew you cared about me and I knew that you took your job seriously enough to put in the time on your own aspect. I think it goes without saying that coaches that do that and anybody in a place of authority does that. That's how you can get guys' attention, you know, and get guys to start listening and molding into whatever you're trying to teach them, whether it's the culture of your program, or simple stuff like, like the way to play a pick and roll. If you're, you know, as a coach, it could be something simple, could be something game changing. Who knows? But that's the way, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think what you said with you got to like, I got to know as a player that you care, like, or if you like touch, let's say, emotions, like make it in a way emotional, not like crying about, oh, thank you so much for helping me. But, you know, in a way, getting in touch with emotions, and that's how your brain actually can opens up, and you can learn new stuff.
Absolutely. It just reaches you at a level a little bit deeper than just like, okay, in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's like the, and also I think it's also the way you say it, like your example, you coming in at home in Spokane as a pro player and be like, oh, well, I'll tell you guys how to do this, you know, like that's not going to work. Like they're just going to be like, oh, hell no, F you. And
facts.
And I think having that in mind, it's also, let's say, I know where you're coming from, Dom, but going to a player and thinking I need to change you, also I think that's also not going to work, because
no,
the player itself needs to be like, I want to change and I'll ask you on where, how, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point you make, Leonard. It's got to go both ways a little bit. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to be, you know, it can't just be one-sided on either side of that relationship.
Yeah. Let's say, go ahead.
Yeah, and if you, let's say, I don't know, there is something going on, you know, what do we always deal with in basketball? Knee pain, for example, you know. If you then have a guy who's not really interested in, you know, in investing time, like working on this situation, then I think, then it's my turn, yeah, to... Yeah, first of all, to get him going, yeah, to sort of like...
To step maybe in a little bit.
Yeah, maybe, and then maybe there is already like a good, like a... like a habit, maybe then I should probably try to build on that habit to make the change more easy for the player, that it's something that he can still incorporate in his already established routine. Yeah, something that doesn't need the player to invest too much of his time. Yeah, and this is then always like a little... I don't know. Of course, then what you said, Leonard, you need to find the feeling, of course, the emotional thing. And also one other really important aspect, if I want a player to do something in regards to rehab or whatever, I gotta shrink the change to the smallest thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. I cannot go to a player and then say, hey, from now on, you got to do A, B, C, D, E, three sets of these for the next 4 weeks. This is right away, probably, for a guy who is not even interested in doing that anyway, shuts off. So it probably, it needs to extend to his, how do you say that? Yeah, it needs to be small. But I still need to be also on the same page, so to speak.
Dom, and Leonard, I'll ask both of you guys, have you ever seen the movie Inception?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
This is exactly what Inception is. No idea is small enough when you're trying to implant it in somebody's mind. And it's this is the exact same thing, but you broke it down. In order for something to stick, it has to be at its most simple and easily communicated level. Without question, I think that's one of the wisest things I've ever heard you say, Dom, not to brown nose here, but I mean, I think that's just such a clear and easy idea, and it's an easy way for guys to get invested. Because again, you're going to come at people with, you know, when you're presenting this idea, you're not saying it for your benefit. You're saying it with humility and saying, look, I'm trying to help you here. And, you know, again, simple idea, the right tone, the right way to communicate it, And then these things can take off. Whereas if you're brisk with somebody, if you have attitude, let's call it, then it'll never, you know, that, that player's mind will never change and you'll never get what you want, from trying to make that statement. But I think that's next level stuff that you said there. No, for real. Like that was really good.
So to sum it up, there should be direction, motivation, of course, and there should be, yeah, let's say the path should be shaped a little bit, you know,
the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit. You know what I mean? You have to see that there's, okay, if I go down this path, like you said, there's something there for me. It's not just you know, let's try it and let's see how it works. You know, this is, no, you follow this and you do this, we can get you to where you want to be. I think that's definitely something that plays well when you're trying to convince people.
I wanted to mention that because that right now is always on my head, you know, how is that a good way of handling that?
I totally agree with both of you guys with what you said. Maybe adding to that beginning of your statement, Dom, let's go back to, like, you see something that you would want to change in a player because you know that would help him so much, blah, blah, blah. I think, like, in order to start this process you just kind of described, to sometimes if you go to a player and, hey, change this, or this could be so easy, like, you take the stance of change, let's say. And then sometimes if you're too far on there, the player can just stay on the other side of not change, to put it like really easy, and then the system is balanced out. You know what I mean? Like if you put that on a scale and the system is always balanced out, the more you go on the change side, the further he goes on the not change side. But then if you just kind of go on the not change side also, the system is not in balance anymore and something needs to change.
Yeah, that's an interesting, you know, very interesting principle you're bringing up there, Leonard. It's, you know, we're all petty little children at heart at the end of the day. You know what I mean? If someone tells me don't go to McDonald's, what's the first thing I'm thinking? Even if I don't like McDonald's, well, screw you. I'm going to go to McDonald's. You don't get to tell me that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Whereas if it, you know, there's always a more organic way to go about these things, you know, there's not really a good example with the McDonald's there. I realize that. But
I mean, you could just say, yeah, man, McDonald's is awesome. You should keep going there every day. Like, oh, yeah, especially if you want to have a long-term career, great choice.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a very, I know the example kind of sucks in a way, but that's basically what I meant.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, you kind of got to hope that people are smart enough to, you know, if they want to dabble into something or, you know, if they do the wrong thing for a short amount of time, you hope that people learn, you know, that they learn, that say, okay, you know, I'm not going to try to change this player's thoughts or the way he operates, but maybe he will see that, you know, if I just kind of let it go, maybe he'll see that, oh, this isn't working for me. Okay. What's the adjustment I need to make? And then maybe he'll even seek out your help.
And then he'll come to you. Yeah. Like ask him, maybe you could also go in the morning to McDonald's. Maybe you can make it twice a day.
I shouldn't have used the McDonald's app. I shouldn't have used the McDonald's line. I should have found something else, anything else.
You know, but then in a way they keep it. It's literally just like with kids. They keep doing it and they overdo it. And at some point they're probably going to learn. Let's just hope it's short term.
They definitely, you know, kids don't listen to a word you say, but they do every single thing that you do. So the example that you set, whether you're a coach or a strength and conditioning person or a parent, which I'm not, but you know, I guess I've learned a fair amount from my mom and dad over the years is, you know, the words they say, especially for little kids, my brother's got kids, I can tell them don't or do for anything and they will not. But then, you know, you look a week later and they completely emulate you. You know what I mean? They do everything that you do. They have all of your little mannerisms and you go, well, God, I didn't say any of that. And that's like, that's the lesson is, oh my God, you know?
And I mean, also Dom, for you to like, it's going to be tough since you're the team strength and conditioning coach. But, you know, I always have to think about the episode we had with Julia Iyer. I still don't know how to pronounce her last name. But she said when she, I keep forgetting. And, but she said when she works with kids and they have a workout for the first time with her, you know, she's a female and maybe they do not respect her in the beginning. She's going to be like, all right, I can tell you, head coach, you guys been there. Just go ahead and leave. If you don't want to be here, I don't want you guys to be here. So she goes on the side of, all right, you guys can just leave. They're all stayed. And they wanted to stay. And now you had the buy-in already.
Hey, there's the petty little child and all those athletes right there. Like, no, you don't get to tell me to leave. I want to be here. And then all of a sudden you've created the environment you want. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
God, and it never, you know, it doesn't always work one way or the other. That's the funny thing about
obviously.
But yeah, I mean, that's definitely a way to get people to buy in is to question it right out of the gates. You guys don't want to be here, go home. Now hold up. I do want to be here. I love that. So it sounds like fourth through like 12th grade of American football for me right there.
Dom, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think I'm all good.
Mm-hmm. I have a quick one for the between time. I don't know. Some question I asked a lot already on this podcast, but definitely not the first time you were here. To cut it short, biggest no that turned out to be a win for you? Or the toughest no that turned out to be a yes after all?
Okay, that's a very good question. I have a lot, and I have to think on that one.
Take your time.
I'm gonna go way back to when I was a senior in high school. So I was just turned 18 years old, and I wanted to go play college basketball. Okay, so I'll make this a short story. I won't talk your ears off on it, but. I wasn't a highly recruited basketball player because I played three sports. I never played an AAU game, and it wasn't like I was averaging 20 points a game in high school. You know, I didn't start till my senior year, maybe averaged like 12 points. I was just an okay nobody. You know what I mean? That didn't deserve exposure and didn't have it. You know what I mean? So when it came time to go to college, I decided, God, I really want to do this. I want to play basketball. And so I had to hit the road. My dad and I were driving to like small schools, you know, in the state of Montana and in Utah, like NAIA schools, essentially auditioning, say like, hey, like, you know, you think I'm good enough to play for your school kind of thing. So long story short, it came down to two schools. One was in Montana called Carroll College. And it's where a bunch of guys from my high school went to school. A lot of football players went there because they were a powerhouse. And it also came down to Westminster College, which is where I ended up going in Salt Lake City, Utah, where I grew up. But the trip I went out to Carroll in Montana, my dad and I drive out there. We play, like I play with their team. I have what I think is a pretty good day of basketball, you know, just playing pickup ball with the guys that are on their team. And the coach, good dude, brings me into the office afterwards. And it was the strangest conversation I'd ever had. All I really wanted him to say was, hey, yeah, I think you're good enough. You can come here. I would have never gone to another trip because I was very comfortable with this place. I knew a lot of guys that went there, you know, everything fit. But he would say, yeah, you do this well. But, you know, this isn't for everybody. You know, D3 might be your best bet. And I just don't think you're good enough to play. And it wasn't anything rude. It wasn't like this guy was a jerk. But I remember him essentially just saying like, yeah, I don't think you're for us, man. And I was devastated at the time. I remember telling my dad, I said, Dad, that was just a weird conversation because we had a 4-hour car ride back to Spokane. And it ended up being the greatest thing that ever happened to me because I ended up going to Salt Lake and going on that recruiting trip to Westminster and deciding that's where I wanted to go. I made lifelong friends. You know, that was the best possible coach I could have ever had in Tommy Connor. And so that set me on the path to become, and I didn't know it at the time, but that set me on the path to become a good college player, a professional player. And now, you know, I've been doing this. This is my 10th season. This would have never happened, I think, if I would have gotten a yes in that room that day. God, I just talked for 6 minutes on that, didn't I? I am so sorry.
I mean, it's a nice story, though.
You can tell me to shut up. You know that, right? You guys are running this thing.
No, we don't want you to shut up.
That's a very great question, Leonard. I don't know. You came up with that, right?
Yeah.
Nice work, Leonard.
Praise. Yeah, thanks, man.
The brains of the operation over there. Jeez.
Sometimes I try to be. It's teamwork, though. Something, another question I just came up with. I don't know if it's trash or not. we're just going to check it out on you since you can just talk, you know, you can talk your way out of a bad question, Mike.
Let's do it.
So, you know, since this podcast is obviously called Brain Pops and we kind of all know what Brain Pops are, you know, you can like something you pick up, something you hear, can be small, can be big, but afterwards you kind of look in the world differently. And something changed it, like something popped in, you know. What was your latest, or what was a brain pop that you really benefited from?
Okay. That is not a bad question at all, actually. That's,
yes.
I think that's a phenomenal question. And yet again, I'm going to have to sit here and think about it for a minute because it is so quality. Brain pop that changed my perspective.
You know, because brain pops can be, you can create your own brain pops. Others can create it for you. We're not the only guys who can create brain pops for.
God, what is it? Because I know I've had like a couple of these, you know what I mean? Things that have just kind of profoundly changed my mind and the way you operate. But God, now that I'm on the spot, this is very difficult. All right. Come on, Michael. You're better than this.
This really helps, like this awkward silence in between.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just
come up with something great.
People will not download this episode due to this crap right here because I can't get it done. All right. Come on, Michael.
Well, one of my, well, let's call it brain pops lately was that I installed a lot of calf training.
What? I mean, is this the Stekman pregame warm up at Göttingen? Oh, the calves.
A lot of calf training and a lot of. I actually went back to the, how do you say, to the jump rope. I do that now for myself. It feels pretty good.
That's not bad.
Yeah, if I think about your chicken legs right now, I think this is a really good brain pop for you, especially before the summer.
Yeah, the calves got to be popping, man, when the shorts are on. You know the drill.
Yeah,
it goes back to one of my best friends, obviously, who keeps talking about that calf work is important. Stefan Dahl, we had on the show here, yeah, of course. But yeah, that's something for me that really, you know, that lights up my day. Okay, but now maybe you use the time to find something.
You know, I'll say this, and this is a brain pop that reoccurred. Like, so I have a reoccurring brain pop, and this is something that
nice.
Just depending on the time and place, you know, it's almost like a reminder every time that, oh no, okay. So here's my brain pop is, you know, when you're in, and this is basketball related, but it's also related to real life. When everything, you know, when you're in the foxhole, when things are tough, right? It's a bad stretch, whether it's life or it's a bad stretch of games and practices and everything's just closing in on you, right? The brain pop is for me, and it always is, there's a million things that I can worry about that can stress me out and that can, you know, ultimately affect my performance in a basketball game. The brain pop, boys, very simple. Just go play well. You have to like, I'll be thinking of a million things, right? And this is something I even use in the real world, I promise you. And then I know how to make the adjustment from just go play well. But a million things can drag you down. And sometimes I just have to remind myself, hey, just a singular focus is all that matters. Just go play well. I could think of, and that could mean 50 million things. Oh, I have to run the pick and roll this. I got to defend this. I've got to shut this down. I've got to pass here. It's paralysis by analysis, right? You can think of a million things. Brain pop, go play well. And all of that seems to take care of itself if that's like, if you just make it a singular focus. So that's a brain pop I have at least once a year.
Nice.
Go on.
I think we got our the title for the episode, right? Just go play well.
Just play well, man. Simple game.
Just play well. Just play well. Three words. Yeah. Can have a big meaning.
Definitely, definitely. That's I carry that with me, man.
Yeah, I like that. And I think we can even wrap it up with this, right, Dom?
Yeah.
And with our one last question we always have. You know, you already know this one, Mike, what's coming for you. But I think unless anything you guys, any topic you guys still want to talk about. If no, Dom, you want to ask the question?
I mean, I think we asked him before. But is there anybody you still like?
What was your last nominee? And did we end up doing him or was it?
Yeah, my last nominee was that's not the right term there, bruv.
David Gutfold? No.
My nominee was Harper Camp, man.
And you followed up on that. Awesome.
Yeah,
yes.
You guys took care of business. So, all right, my next nominee. All right, I gotta think here.
You gotta think towards the end of this podcast.
No. I've already wasted enough of your time thinking. I've got one. I think, you know, just, and he's another XBG Göttingen player, American guy,
mm-hmm.
but he spent a lot of time there. You guys know him. Darius Carter. I would like
Carter.
To nominate DC. I think he'd be a good guest. Don't know if you'll get a hold of him. I know he's getting married this summer. But that's why he came to my mind. I said he's got big things on the horizon. Might be a good time to get a hold of him and have a little chat.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, if DC listens already, wait for our message. And shout out to your – do you say that shout out to your marriage? Probably not.
Congratulations on your marriage. Yes. That works. Shouts
exactly.
to the marriage.
Thank
Seagal,
you.
Man.
You know, now we know what level of English talking I'm at and where you guys are at, Dom, with his crazy list. And obviously he studied English and stuff.
And you know what? As time goes on, don't remember, a lot lies get bigger as time goes on. When we have this conversation in a year, he studied English at Oxford is going to be what he's saying. Webster was his grandpa from Webster's Dictionary. So, I mean, I can't wait to hear how this one balloons.
Yep. I like it.
Just because Mikey. I'm a little obsessive. Come on, guys. Let me be obsessive.
Yeah. I like it. You carry the podcast with your way of thinking like that. Mike, thank you so much for being on here. It was a lot of fun talking
As
to
always.
You. A lot of brain pops. And I just had a great time. Thank you for that.
Steckmon, I appreciate it, man. You know you're my guy. It's I appreciate you both letting me on here. Dom Seps, this was fun, man. And if you ever need a time filler or anyone to just, you know, talk random crap for 20 minutes, I got you, man. That's what I'm here for.
Sounds good, man.
Love it.
Yeah. Have fun finishing the season and then have fun skiing and doing all the other crap you want to do.
Will do, boys. I'll make sure to document it. I might even post on Instagram this year. Who knows?
Ooh. Yeah. All right, Mike.
All right, Mikey. See you
Take
soon.
Care.
See you,
Bye-bye.
Fellas.
Nice. Yeah. Cute. I mean, after show, what can we say? Nothing new. Great guy to talk to, great guy to listen to. What more can I say?
Yeah, and the other thing I can add to that, I just look into my iPad here right now and I see Leonard. I think he just took a shower. He's sort of shaved, and his hair is everywhere. It's it's not bad, Leonard.
All right, thanks. The listeners needed these very
insights.
Yeah, insights. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
And regarding Mike, amazing episode again. I have to give him all the credit.
Yeah, we had an easy job. I mean. Not the only reason why we picked him, but one of the reasons why we picked him, you know, like it's easy job for us. Just throw something out there and he's going to turn it into gold, let's say.
I really liked you, Leonard, in the episode. I hated me, to be honest, because I don't know. I just couldn't get my thoughts across. I had the feeling I was at some point I was missing a few words. When I listened back to it, I was like, man, you moron, that's what you want to say. But anyways.
I'll be honest, I didn't have the time yet to listen to it fully, but during the episode, I was in sync with you, so.
Okay. Maybe I'm too hard on myself.
If you liked the episode so much, what were some of your brain pops listening to it?
You know, I was trying to describe, you know, I had that feeling during the season. I explained that in the episode that there are like a lot of blowouts this year.
Yeah. See, that's what I really liked about your part.
It was just my subjective feeling. And one thing Mike said, and I stumbled on it by listening again to the episode. He said that players maybe had different sense of urgency during games because there was no crowd. Maybe that was his explanation. And for me, that made a lot of sense if I now think about it again. Because I, like Mike said, if, let's say, if you're down 15 and there's just nothing happening in the gym and you know that you're not performing and you don't have crowd who is letting you know, who lets you know that you're not performing, I think it's just difficult for a player.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. And also, I liked adding to that the fact of the, that it's so hard to build team chemistry and, you know, to feel like responsible, you know, it comes with it. And, I don't know. I don't even know if your subjective feeling of these blowouts was correct. You should go to Julian Meyer and ask him. He probably has some stats about that.
Yeah.
And, see if that is true. And if it's true, I think we definitely got the reasons, in this episode.
Yeah, and I have one more thing that really that I really like. I think I said in the episode that it's especially in these times that you should celebrate the positives more than dwelling in the negatives. And I think this
I totally agree.
In general, I think this is correct.
I was about to say that.
In general, yeah, but even in this situation, I think it's even more important. That was a really good one.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I also like the mental part, you know, that came across with this, you know, Corona thing. Get your mind off basketball court, off the basketball court, how much that helps. And I love the episode. And now, you know, this is the last after show for a while, man. I'm getting a little emotional.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy to, we don't know when we're coming back yet in August, but it's going to be in August. That's the promise we have. A long time no Brain Pops. Tomorrow, immediately, I don't need to see your face right away, but we're going to have a meeting where we recap a little bit. Let's call it this first season. And, you know, what we liked, what we didn't like, what we want to keep doing, maybe what not, what we want to change. And obviously, we can think about this a lot, but it would help us big time if some listeners would actually give us some, maybe some keeps, some don'ts, some do's. Maybe even come up with a form or something where we ask you guys. But if you have anything you would like to share with us on feedback, please let us know in the next couple of weeks, because we're not going to be on your ears. So just text us.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Leonard. I like that.
Yeah. And also, we don't just want to leave with nothing, obviously, you know. And I had a little meeting today, and I got some good news. And Dom, you don't even know this. There's going to be some Brain Pops merch coming. I just talked to how do you call that, print agency or whatever. And I got some jackets, I got a nice sweatshirt, and some shorts. They're all, if I'm correct, unisex. So, and we're going to print our very, very nice logo or visual on the back, and some nice Brain Pops in the front, our logo. And it's going to look really nice. And my first motivation was to do this for myself, because I love our logo. and I just want clothes with our logo on there. But doing that, I was like, all right, maybe there are some more people out there, because the more I order, the cheaper it's going to get. So if you were interested in this, we're going to, as soon as I have the, let's say, samples, I'm going to post some pictures on Instagram. Let us know if you like some Brain Pops merch. We don't really have the prices yet, but it's just going to be the price of what it costs to buy the stuff and to print some stuff on there. We're not going to make any money with that. Yeah, but just let us know if you are interested already. I'm going to post some pictures and yeah. Dom, are you going to get some?
Oh, sure. For sure I will.
Yeah, so if you can't listen to us for a couple of weeks, at least you can see our logo on your clothes and then represent and let people know what's your favorite podcast.
All right, that's a good All way right, of ending the episode.
I agree. Where are you heading for vacation? For or talking about the break?
It's probably Greece again.
Greece. I like it. Never change a running system. Huh?
Exactly. Different resort, though.
Oh, don't change too much.
No. And yourself?
I'm going to do a road trip to Portugal. Friend is moving there and he bought a bus and I'm gonna drive him there and then head back with the train. Yep, that's the plan. All right, folks.
Puppies.
Thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to this first season for all the diehard puppies. Dom, thanks for keeping going with this, yes. And I'm looking forward to the second season.
Oh, we already have guests
planned. In the pipeline.
So, yep.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
See you guys. Enjoy the summer. And bye-bye. We're going to be back with some new Brain Pops.